T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
His name is Ian Harditz from Pro Football Focus. Last 5 minutes, he tweeted, the Steelers' defense is absolutely loaded at all three levels. Ian, why do you say that?
Hey, man, thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
Yeah, I was just looking over this depth chart, and I mean, my goodness. We knew they had just some, you know, elite players. T.J. Watt, you know, we all saw what Minkah Fitzpatrick did when they got him over there, but I mean, you just go position by position. I mean, having Hayward and Tuitt on that defensive line, they're not even, like, among the first guys being mentioned. I mean, Joe Hayden, you know, I think he's kind of had his name in these top cornerback groups for quite a while. But the things that Steven Nelson, to a lesser extent, Mike Hilton were able to accomplish last year, it's an elite cornerback room. And then I think just really piecing the whole thing together, potentially, is Devin Bush in the middle. Because, look, this was already a top-five defense last year, even with Bush, you know, struggling early on in the year. I mean, seeing Will Disley and some of these tight ends beat him for touchdowns was surprising. But we saw him come on at the end of the year. And that sideline-to-sideline linebacker is what they've kind of been missing since the, you know, unfortunate Ryan Shazier incident. And Bush, with that second-year leap, kind of same thing with Devin White in Tampa Bay. You know, we see this in some of the best defenses in the league. When you get that fast middle linebacker, you got a fast defense. And they're going to be scary in 2020.
Ian, I think this defense has a lot of high-end guys, and I think T.J. Watt has a real chance at winning Defensive Player of the Year, an award I usually just hand to Aaron Donald before every season. But I have a real genuine concern about their back end. Hayden, I'm not as bullish on maybe, but that's not really the reason. I wonder what Terrell Edmunds is at this point in his NFL career, because I haven't been impressed much thus far.
Fair point, and you know, that is kind of the one, if you wanted to call it a weak spot of the defense. But I mean, at this point, I think we just kind of, you know, we're barking about one single position in a group that is, should otherwise be more than capable of, you know, filling in for any inconsistencies that Edmunds has in his play. And that's kind of, again, why I'm just going with Devin Bush as the true difference maker. Because, I mean, you look at Minkah and Devin, and, you know, these new kind of linebacker safety hybrids in the game are just really changing things. That's why Isaiah Simmons, you know, from Clemson was going as that top 10 pick, because when you have someone like Minkah who, you know, can go slot corner to middle of the field to, you know, true linebacker just from a snap-to-snap basis, they can help you cover up for some of those guys like Terrell Edmunds, and then hopefully, you know, put someone like Edmunds in a position to do what they do best and not put too much on their plate. So I hear you. You know, there's definitely still some parts that any defense can improve, but luckily I think Edmunds has enough talent around him to, you know, not be too big of a sore thumb in there.
Our Pro Football Focus guest is Ian Harditz. He's with us here, and he loves the Steelers defense. How much, Ian, if we're at, I'll ask you to rank it. I love rankings. You do too. Are they the number one defense in the NFL going into 2020?
I would go with them as number one defense in 2020, absolutely. One of my favorite stats for evaluating defensive play is havoc rate, which is used a little more in college football, but pretty much it's just trying to measure, you know, sacks, pressures, forced fumbles, interceptions, trying to measure havoc on any given play. And last year, the Steelers were already first. And look, I mean, they had this same kind of defensive personnel, but the fact they were first with that atrocious of an offense that was just doing them no favors in terms of, you know, setting them up with being able to play ahead, play with a lead, being able to even just get a decent rest on the sideline between drives. I mean, they had no help, and this was still an 8-8 team with anyone's idea of a top five defense. So you look at some of the other, you know, great defenses around the league, the 49ers, you know, getting hurt a little bit on their defensive line. I'm not sure they'll be quite as dominant. I mean, the Ravens, they just put so much and they have that great secondary and, you know, being able to play in front like they did last year, it's just a little, little unclear if they're going to be in just as prime as game situations next season. So, yeah, I think just in terms of continuity across all three levels of the defense, looking ahead to 2020, I mean, this Steelers defense can even take a further step forward. And like I said, they're already pretty great last year.
Well, how will that come about, Ian? I know they forced a number of turnovers that led the league last year, 38, I think, off the top of my head. That doesn't feel sustainable for this year. So are you suggesting that there's a chance that they're like, kind of like a team that has a great record one year but maybe outperforms that record really or underperforms that record on the field? They lose a win or two the next year and are a better overall football team. Are you suggesting that the defense might actually be better with less gaudy statistics in some areas?
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. And you're right. They did kind of outperform, you know, with getting the turnovers. And, you know, I think we can all agree if we ran back that 2019 season 100 times, you know, their 8-8 performance in that is probably in that top 10% range of outcomes. I mean, that team had no business contending for the playoffs just with how bad things were under center. So, yes, maybe the turnover rates drop off a little bit. You know, similar thing with, you know, Lamar Jackson, his passing touchdown rate. It was just so good last year. There's really no room for it to go but down. But even if those turnovers don't come, I just think having the better game script for them, you know, not having to kind of have offenses being able to run or pass the whole game, actually playing with a lead can help them even get more pressure in, you know. They could be healthier, too. Some of those injuries they had across the defensive line, you know, didn't put them in the best position to succeed. And, look, man, you got that continuity at all three levels. And, you know, I know sometimes you want to just assume regression. That's a real big pop word. But you just kind of look every single position group, and I just don't see a scenario where they take a step back other than maybe in that turnover department from simple regression, like you said.
Ian Harditz from Pro Football Focus, one of their great experts joining us here on The Fan. Now, you, Ian, I know just from reading your work, you have been very blunt about Juju Smith-Schuster's performance in 2019. I think you called it the worst by any Steelers wide receiver who got meaningful snaps last year. And I'm curious if you feel like he'll rebound in 2020 because Ben Roethlisberger's back, or are you of the opinion that the other wide receivers on this roster, Diontae Johnson among them, that one of them will step up and actually replace him as the team's number one wide receiver?
It's an interesting situation. It's Pittsburgh offense because, I mean, the last time we truly saw them with Big Ben under center, I mean, we all know AB was the clear number one guy there, but Big Ben enabled both AB and Juju to fancy wide receiver one season. And I'm just talking, you know, top 12 scoring at their position, but both those guys had over 160 targets. And I mean, it's just so rare to see quarterbacks be able to enable multiple high-end receivers like Big Ben did. I'm not out on Juju by any extent going this next year. I just think that Juju and Diontae Johnson can be these high-performing fantasy wide receivers. And when you look at the kind of disparity between their average draft positions, you know, Juju, okay, you're spending a top 10, top 15 wide receiver pick to get him. Diontae Johnson's going outside the top 30 right now. So we definitely have more proven, you know, film and production from Juju. I mean, just the list of receivers with more yards than him before turning 23, I believe it's literally only Randy Moss. I mean, you know, you are not a product of a system and putting up better numbers than anyone other than Randy Moss. I mean, Juju is a baller in his own right. But Diontae Johnson, I mean, he was in that same position as Juju last year, and he was better on a per-target basis. And just, you know, overall, I think just from the kind of eyeball test, you saw the way Diontae runs those routes. You got two really good wide receivers in Pittsburgh. I do think James Washington is the odd man out just because, you know, they did draft Chase Claypool with a fairly high round pick, and just kind of the issues we've seen Washington have with Big Ben over the years. I know he started to come on strong last year. The talent's there. I mean, when he's on, he's on. But just that Claypool draft pick makes me nervous about Washington. So it's, you know, Juju, great player, but I would rather have Diontae Johnson about five rounds later, considering what we've seen this offense before.
Ian, as a PFF Elite subscriber, I am well aware of the website's feelings on almost every running back in the league as far as interchangeability. But what can Steelers fans expect from James Conner? What is he realistically at this point in his career in your evaluation?
I mean, with Conner, when you look at why should I not draft James Conner this year, my fantasy football team, it just comes down to how long is he going to be healthy? Is he going to get hurt? And there are concerns there. We've now seen, you know, back-to-back seasons where he wasn't healthy enough to make it through. But But that said, what has he also done this season? And that's been work as a fantasy RB1 whenever he's been healthy enough to get on the field. I mean, we all know 2018 was amazing. And truly, Connor, only Saquon Barkley and Kareem Hunt broke more tackles than Connor in weeks 1 through 13. It wasn't like he was just this, you know, volume-heavy running back that was just falling forward for 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I mean, the guy has legit skills. I mean, 6'1", 230-pound running backs don't move the way Connor does usually. And we even saw that last year. I mean, even with Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges under center, Connor was the PPR RB9 in weeks 1 through 8 before he got hurt. So I get it. You know, I think the injury-prone label is overused, particularly in fantasy football. But if we had to assign it to someone, you know, it is with Connor. But that's kind of already being baked into his draft price. I mean, we had to spend a top 10, 12 pick on the guy to get him last year. Now he's going outside the top 20 running backs in fantasy. You know, when we hear Tomlin just come out and really say he is a featured runner type guy and they treat James as a featured runner, I mean, 2014 and 2018, the Steelers RB1, whoever it was, even those random week 17 games where we had Stephon Ridley going out there, the guy was getting fed 20-plus touches. Last year was just so weird from top to bottom for everyone on this team pretty much that I'm going back to the well with James Conner here because, again, I just think we're overreacting a little bit to a great situation, a great player. Yeah, there's injury risk there, but, you know, there's injury risk with everyone in the league.
Ian Harditz from Pro Football Focus. Read him there. Ian, thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thank you, man. You too.
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.